Welcome to the Hockey Writers Fantasy Forecheck, where we talk to you about all things fantasy, keeper league, redraft, and dynasty. We're going to give you hot players to pick up, prospects on the rise, sleepers you should or shouldn't think of acquiring, and prospects who are looking to break out at the NHL level. I'm your host, Caleb Kearney.
And I am Jake Strzok.
And we're not going to have a topic today, but we are looking at all the best players to acquire if you are in win now mode. It's coming up to playoffs for a lot of people. Some people are already in playoffs. Some people have had deadlines already. If you haven't had a trade deadline yet, this is the podcast episode for you. Jacob and I are going to be going back and forth about what players we really like in different formats. And so, Jacob, why don't you kick us off with one of your top guys?
Yeah, one of the best ones as far as fantasy production value that I have gotten all season, Sharks defenseman Erik Karlsson. It is hard to hate on what he's done offensively, considering he's leading all defensemen in the league in points. He's not always been, you know, a good full-blown categories coverage-style defenseman. He's not going to be really doing much on the defensive end. But for raw point production out of a defenseman, you can never go wrong with that. Some people still might be willing to move him out of hesitation to, you know, maybe hold on to him for too long for the sake of he is still Erik Karlsson. He does have the glass bones, and things could still, you know, take a turn for the worse at any point for him. But at the end of the day, if he's on your roster, there's a good chance he's getting you a point one night, or he's getting you a couple of points on another night. And he was one of my best pickups early season, and he's paying off down the stretch for me here. So if you can get your hands on him, I would say Karlsson would be one of your best bets.
Yeah, Erik Karlsson has just been dynamite this year. I almost got him in my dynasty league. We had a free agency before the season started. Me and another guy were kind of going back and forth on him. We settled. We kind of made a little backdoor deal where he could take Karlsson and I could take another guy that he was kind of bidding on. So we kind of settled things that way. I wish I had not done that just because of how he's sort of produced this year. But my first guy is another defender who people always seem to sleep on, and he always does fantastic. And that's Roman Josi. I mean, this year so far, 67 games played. He's got 18 goals, 41 assists for 59 points. You know, maybe a little bit less than what you would like from Roman Josi, but that's still fantastic production, no matter how you look at it. His peripherals are also fantastic. 269 shots. So that's averaging 4 shots a game, 51 hits. You like to see more, but still he's just over 3/4 of a hit per game, 0.76 hits per game. He's been the highest shooting defender in the league so far this year, and he always consistently gets you coverage and points and goals, assists, and he's always shot a lot. So he's always good for those categories, and he also gets a good amount of blocks as well. This year, 146 blocks. So that's, you know, just over 2 blocks per game. So definitely if you're in a category league, he is fantastic, bang for your buck. And he's always top 3, top 5 in points for defensemen every year. And he gets those goals, which is huge for defensemen. You want defensemen that get you goals. You want anybody who's going to get you goals. That's going to be something you're going to hear a lot from us as we go through these players. All the defenders that I have on my list have at least 15 goals on the season. So they're all going to finish 20 plus, which is crazy to have so many defenders hit 20 goals. A couple years ago, maybe you'd have one or two kind of hit 20. And now to have so many is just fantastic. I love it. I love it. Jacob, who's your next guy?
Excuse me. Another one, I just want to like preface some of these. Remember, these are the players that you want to grab if you are really in a win now mode. You're not, you know, kind of thinking, oh, should I go for my title? Oh, should I not? this is a definite I'm shooting for a title player. And these are players that you should be holding on to if you plan on, you know, pushing for titles in the next couple of years. So with that said, a big one I want to talk about who's had kind of a breakout year as far as his offensive production goes. He's been fairly consistent all year, is Carolina's Martin Natchez. He's been mostly in a top six role. He's had some times restricted down below the 15-minute mark for his ice time, but in general, he's been playing second, first-line role, and he's really been throwing up points better than he ever has in his career. He's almost at 30 goals, he's got 27 goals. He's almost at 40 assists, he's got 37 assists, and he keeps shooting the puck. That's what really is the difference between last year and this year. He's getting the shot through. He's actually producing and performing offensively like most people were kind of hoping to. Like I was hoping he would have last year when I had him, but he kind of busted for me. But this year he really is breaking through and becoming one of those dynamic scorers on that very high-end Carolina offense, which it's always good to have players that are a part of a good system, and Carolina has a very good system. So one of my kind of not so hidden win now players would be Natchez.
Yeah, Natchez has been fantastic. It kind of makes sense, you know, when I was kind of looking at him in the offseason, it looked like he was at that sort of threshold where players statistically tend to break out, and he's just been, I didn't think it was going to be this much. You know, he's kind of, for me, he's kind of like the Tage Thompson of this year, just sort of blowing the doors off, getting you points, he's shooting a lot, which is beautiful. Love to see it. Another guy who shoots a lot, my next guy, Alex Ovechkin. I mean, this guy is always top of the league as far as point production goes. The points, I should rephrase, the goal-wise, he's usually towards the top of the league in goals, maybe not necessarily in points, but he's chasing that record. So he is somebody you still want to hold on to. And, you know, all these guys that we're talking about today, age and where they're at in their career doesn't really matter when you're trying to win this year. And even if you're trying to win next year, you're just looking at production. Are they doing what they've always done? And if they are older, are they still giving you really good production, really good value for, if you're in a salary cap league, whatever their salary is, all those sorts of variables kind of fit into it, but you're not considering as many of those variables when you're in win now. You consider more of those things when you're rebuilding or retooling for various reasons, and we'll get to those types of players in later episodes. So Ovechkin, 64 games played this year, 37 goals, 28 assists for 65 points, point per game, right? Which is fantastic. Although this year, there are so many players above point per game. 267 shots, 156 hits. I mean, Ovi's just dynamite. Everybody knows Ovi is a top guy. He's a multi-category beast, and you want him in all formats. The only way you should be getting rid of Ovechkin is if you're in a dynasty and you're either rebuilding or retooling. That's the only situation in which you should actually think about getting rid of him, because he still has value. You can still get good players for him. Jacob, you got any quick thoughts on Ovi?
Yeah, the thing, it's at the end of the day, it's Alex Ovechkin, right? You don't really have to worry about if he's on your team and going, oh man, is he really going to score? Oh man, is he really going to get me hits? It's Alex Ovechkin. He might be in his late 30s, but the guy still throws up goals like it's, you know, like he's 20 years old. So the aging process hasn't really done much to his offensive skill in any way, shape, or form. Granted, you know, he's never been, like you said, known for the points production, but he has still had multiple 100-point seasons in his career. He's had multiple 90-point seasons in his career. And you can't really say too much about, you know, like overall point production, but a majority of those are goals. And when it comes to fantasy, if you're scoring goals, you're winning each week. That's just the long and short of it, no matter what. So having Ovechkin is easily one of the best things you can do for your roster. And yeah, if you are in the win now, you know, scenario, he is absolutely somebody that you either need to grab or you need to hold on to tighter than any other player, because he does everything. He really just does everything. He's not going to get a million assists, but he is going to score goals. He's going to get hits, and he shoots like 6 shots a game. So you can't complain about anything that Ovechkin does fantasy wise. And I would kill to have him on my team.
Yeah, there you go. That's the long and short of it on Ovi. Jacob, somebody else you got?
Yeah, we'll stick with goal scorers, kind of bigger goal scorers. We're going to talk about Dallas Stars forward Jason Robertson. He does kind of fit into the future aspect as well as the win now aspect, but you know, at the end of the day, he's a pure goal scorer, and he throws up a lot of shots. The kid has on average about 3 to 4 shots a game. He has a decent amount of hits. He has 41 goals on the season. He's got 47 assists. So he's pretty split down the middle as far as his point production goes, but he is the kind of guy that scores goals in bunches, and he scores consistently all throughout the year. He'll finish this year likely with just under 50, but don't be shocked if he makes a push towards the end of the year and he just throws up a couple of hat tricks and he hits 50. So Robertson is the kind of guy that you can have on your roster and not have to worry about your offense production. He does play both wings, but he mostly sticks to the right side. So you can kind of play that based off of how your league is formatted. If you have it based off of like forwards or specifically right wing, left wing style people, but he's a top end option for any one of those types of categories. And if you can pick him up, it's going to cost you a pretty penny, but Robertson is the kind of player that you can win now with and also keep for a couple of years, actually more than a couple of years, keep for a while, and he'll still be putting up, you know, 40, maybe 45 goals each year.
Another guy who's really kind of coming into his own and really, really shouldering the burden of his team is Brady Tkachuk. This guy, you know, since he first entered the league, he's been a hitter, he's been a shooter, okay? He's getting the point production now, okay? He hasn't always had as much points as you would like, but this year, 69 games, 30 goals, 41 assists. That's beautiful. 71 points, right? 285 shots. That's over 4 shots per game. 201 hits. That's just under 3 hits per game. That stat line, that coverage is just dynamite. If you're in category leagues, you got a little bit of everything there. If you're in points leagues, the hits and the shots give you a good floor, and then the goals and the assists are just icing on the cake. And he's young on top of that. So he's similar to Robertson. You want him for a win now. He's also a great piece to have in your core going forward if you're rebuilding or retooling.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Brady Tkachuk, you can't really knock on anything he does. He's really developed into that high-end, you know, key player for any fantasy roster. So maybe early on in his career, people were thinking, is he just going to be a Matt Tkachuk clone? Is he just going to, you know, dwindle away in the cesspool that was Ottawa at that time? But no, he's really risen to the occasion and become an S-tier caliber fantasy-style player. He gets the goals, he gets the hits, he gets the assists, and he'll give you coverage no matter where you are. And he's also not afraid to drop the gloves. He'll just start punching anybody that wants to challenge him or his teammates, like the good captain that he is. So you're going to get penalty minutes out of him too. You're going to get everything across the board with Brady Tkachuk. And it runs in the family, because the guy that I want to segue into is Matt Tkachuk. Mm. And he's been one of the best fantasy performers overall, in my opinion, for the past 3 years. Doesn't matter that he's been on Calgary. It doesn't matter that he's been in Florida this year. He's still putting up points. He still shoots the puck so much. He only has a couple of shots less than Robertson does. He is on a 100-point pace again. He's got 32 goals, 60 assists, and he's still got plenty of games left. He only needs a couple more in order to get to the 100-point mark. So you can't really knock any player that's going to throw up 100 real-time points, because in fantasy, that just means he's scoring at some alarming rate. I mean, even in his past four games, he's got a 3-assist game, a 2-goal, 1-assist game, a 1-goal, 3-assist game, and then a 1-goal game against New Jersey the other night. So he does anything and everything across the board, similar to the way Brady does. They're going to be comparable as far as their long-term, you know, production goes fantasy-wise. But if you want more just raw offense and point production, Matt Tkachuk is probably your better bet. If you want a little bit more physicality and category point coverage, Brady's probably your better way to go.
I think that's a good way to classify the brothers there. One guy who I wish had a brother who I could acquire and add to my team, Timo Meier. This guy, he's been great this year. He was great last year. You know, 65 games this year, 34 goals, 22 assists for 284 shots and 131 hits. You know, that's 4.37 shots per game and 2.02 hits per game. That is wonderful. Love to see it. I like my players to shoot and hit a lot. So that's just fantastic. You know, you want, in my opinion, a good recipe for success is to have at least one or two players who really get you category coverage in every position, no matter what format your league is in, because they're going to raise the floor of your team. And then once they get the points, that's going to really catapult your team and win your weeks. What else can I say about Timo? You know, he's really solidifying his position as a multi-category beast. Last year, he kind of put it all together. And this year, he's just building on that. He's a must-own. I love this. I love this guy.
Yeah, I've always been a big fan of Meier, especially when he was on the Sharks, because he had that, you know, he had that Western style game just kind of naturally in him. He plays physical, he scores points, but he's always that skate hard, play hard kind of guy. So him now being on the Devils, who have a bit more of a high powered offense, there is so much more potential for him to jump up in his point production, because he doesn't need to be the guy anymore. Now he plays on the line with Jack Hughes, who already is taking the attention away from him a little bit. And now he can just be another good high-end player that's going to put up points in complement to his line mates, instead of being the guy that needs to put up the points every single time. So while the point production hasn't been spectacular since he's gotten acquired by the Devils, that's not going to last very long, and he's going to eventually jump up. So if you have the ability to grab Meier, he's definitely a good wing option. He doesn't play center at all. So he's definitely a very good wing option, no matter which side of the playing category that you have in your league. But I've been trying to acquire him myself in my one league pretty much all year. But unfortunately, the asking price has been just a little too high for me, and I haven't been willing to pay it just yet. But as I progress forward in my season, and I'm in my final four right now, it's a trade I'm thinking about more and more each day.
There you go. There you go. Jacob, who's your next guy?
It's time for me to talk about a bit of a homer pick. We're going to dive back into defensemen, and we're going to talk about Rasmus Dahlin, because I can't not talk about Rasmus Dahlin. All year, he has been proving how good he really is. And last year, there were glimpses of it, but this year, he was just going off like an absolute firecracker, scoring points, throwing big hits, eating up big minutes. He takes a couple of penalties here and there. He's at 82 penalty minutes this season, so if you get points out of penalties, you know, he'll get you a little bit going there. For shooting, he averages about 2.5 shots a game, so you still get shots coming from the back end. And he's at 49 assists, 14 goals. So he's pushing a point a game, and it's something that's not often seen in defensemen, especially defensemen as young as him. So if you have him, hold him. Hold him just as much as you would hold Fox, just as much as you would hold Makar, just as much as you would hold any of these high-end young defensemen. You can talk Quinn Hughes, who I'll talk about later. But right now he is on just a bit of a cold spell just because Buffalo is on a bit of a cold spell. And, you know, you might be thinking, oh, well, it's Buffalo. You know, they don't really have what it takes. Buffalo, at the end of the day, this year has been one of the most offensive teams in the entire league. So they will pick it up again, and his point production will continue to go forwards. He leads the team in blocked shots. He's got about 115 blocked shots. So he's doing everything that he should as a top number one defenseman. And if he's available in your league and somebody might not be taking him seriously enough because he's on Buffalo, take advantage of that and grab him quick.
Love it. And Dahlin is another one of those guys, still young. He's going to be top D in Buffalo. Pick him up if you're rebuilding or retooling. My next guy, Kirill Kaprizov. He is the forward who stirs the Minnesota Wild's drink, okay? They're still managing to win games with him injured right now, but he is their guy. He is the top point getter, top goal scorer, 65 games this year. He's got 39 goals, 35 assists for 74 points, 250 shots, that's 3.85 shots per game, and 65 hits. A hit a game. Love it. Love it. He is injured right now, like I said, but he should be able to stay on your IR until he comes back. And if you don't have the space, maybe you consider dropping somebody else who you have on IR. Or if you don't have the IR space and your team is deep enough, just keep him on your bench. You don't want to drop Kaprizov, okay? If you absolutely have to, if it's like between Kaprizov and I don't know that there's somebody else who's as productive as he is and is injured right now, and you have both of those players, but they'd have to be better than Kaprizov for you to drop Kaprizov. But also dropping Kaprizov would be just complete insanity, okay? Do not do it. Hold on to him, whatever the cost. If it costs you a week, if it costs you a matchup or two because you don't have him in your lineup, I'd just take the loss. Hopefully your team is deep enough that you don't need to go through that, but that's just the long and skinny on Kaprizov. Jacob, you got some more players here for us?
Yeah, I want to jump into some goaltending. I want to talk about Jeremy Swayman. It's never a bad idea at this point to have a Boston goaltender on your roster. Now, Linus Ullmark is the best goaltender in the league this year. There is no doubt about it. It's not even close as far as statistics goes. But Swayman has been not just a capable backup, but been an alternative starter to Ullmark. He's sitting at 17 wins and just under 30 games played. He's got a .917 save percentage, a 2.28 goals against. And for any goaltender to be putting up numbers like that, it is just fantastic. Swayman will be easier to pick up than Allmark, but yeah, you will still be getting the equal amount of attention, especially down the stretch here, because Boston is not going to overplay one or the other. They're going to keep splitting them one game, then the other game, one game, then the other game. Unless one of them gets hurt for some reason, it's going to be a continuous set of play for both of these goaltenders. And Boston is just going to keep winning games. So if you can grab Swayman, he's a much cheaper option than Allmark, but he's going to give you the same kind of point production than just about any other starting goaltender playing, you know, 3-4 games in a row. You might have a couple of losses sprinkled in there. Swayman had a bit of a struggle at the start of this year, but you know, he's been really putting it on towards down the stretch here. So grab him, put him on your roster, start him on the nights that Allmark isn't, because it's every other night.
And, you know, perfect segue for Linus Allmark for me to talk about him. You know, I had him on my list. He's a guy who I've inquired about all year because he's still young. He's still 28 or 29 years old. You know, in 42 games, 34 wins. It's just crazy. 5 losses, no overtime losses, 1.97 goals against average, 935 save percentage. If you're in a league that has great stats, that is pure gold. He's no diamond in the rough. He's just a diamond. 2 shutouts. What more could you ask for in a starting goaltender? And to touch on this whole rotation aspect, before we hopped aboard here, I did see that Dmitry Orlov is just sitting out for today's Boston game, just so they can get some other defensemen going. So they're, you know, in the last bit of the season here, look for some teams, maybe just, I don't know if it's going to be just Boston, but just keep an eye out on lineups. Some guys might rotate in and out as coaches try to manage the load of their top players, and goaltending is especially one that you're definitely going to see down the stretch. Who's the next guy you got, Jacob?
Next one I want to dip into is Winnipeg forward Kyle Connor. He's been, you know, kind of off and on throughout the course of this year, but he's been generally one of the most consistent scorers in the league for the past handful of years. He's likely not going to hit the 40-goal mark this year, unfortunately, since, you know, he's on a bit of a dry spell. But when he's hot, he's really hot, and he's throwing up points. And when he's usually not, normally when he's not hot, he's still throwing up a goal assist here in between games. So Connor is just one of my favorite overall fantasy players to have because he shoots and he plays on a really good Winnipeg offensive team. They have good centers. They have Dubois, they have Scheifele, and he really is the winger that kind of rounds out that top six and can be shuffled either first line, second line, depending on what they need that night. And he still produces. So Connor to me is a quintessential winger pickup when it comes to win now fantasy players, because he really does have that consistency in his scoring throughout the past handful of years. This year might, like I said, might be a bit of a down year, but if you can grab him, he's worth having over some of the other less consistent wingers that score you points.
Absolutely. We're getting to the end of our show here, so I think Jacob and I are going to go over 2 more guys each, sort of quick, and then I think we'll just have a rapid fire at the end where we'll just throw out some names, not really get into in depth about them, but just guys who you should still think of getting. We want to give you as many names as possible to give you lots of options to boost up your roster, so you could win your weeks, win your championships, okay? My next guy, John Tavares, okay? 68 games played. He's got 30 goals, 39 assists for 69 points, 232 shots. That's 3.41 shots per game. 103 hits, which is 1.51 hits per game. That is fantastic production across the board. He's cemented in the top six of Toronto. And this is the kind of sneaky pick that you might be able to make to propel yourself into the top of your standings in your league. It could also be an opportunity to sell high, especially if you have, you know, a Toronto homer in your league, and maybe they have somebody who you're kind of eyeing up, like a Meyer or one of the Tkachuk brothers, and they're just a bigger fan of Tavares, and you can make that swap. That would be the only sort of trade that I would entertain when it comes to Tavares. Jacob, who's your next guy?
I want to jump into the Arizona Coyotes for a hot second here, since we haven't touched on them even a little bit. Their best player, hands down, all year, Clayton Keller. And the dude is just on an aggressive tear towards the tail end of the season. I'm looking at his last six games here. 2 assists, 1 goal, 2 goal, 1 assist, 2 goals, an assist, 1 goal, 2 assists. And he's doing it all. He's putting up points. He's not shooting as much as some of these other players. He's sitting below 200 shots, got 174 shots. So his shooting percentage is higher comparatively. And that's something that you really, really want to jump in on. He's getting power play points. He's getting just overall point coverage. He is a minus one, but, you know, that's the result of playing on Arizona. And Keller has been such a breakout star this year, in my opinion, but still gone under the radar. I guarantee there's people who aren't paying attention to him just because of the team that he's on. So if you can catch one of those people maybe not paying attention or undervaluing him again because of the team that he's on, you'd have an absolute home run of a steal here on your hands, because he's scoring at an alarming rate down the stretch here going into the actual NHL playoffs. Grab him. You will not regret it. And you can even hold him into next year because he's still young. He was a 2016 draft pick, so he has youth on his side, and you'll be able to still get great production out of him in the coming years.
Absolutely. Clayton Keller is fantastic. My next guy, who is also, I think, kind of flown under the radar. I don't know why, because he's always fantastic. And that's goaltender Ilya Sorokin. He's lights out. He's always had good rate stats. And in this year, in 52 games played, he has 25 wins, 19 losses, 2 overtime losses, 2.37 goals against average, a 924 save percentage, and 5 shutouts. He is tied for league lead with Darcy Kemper for shutouts. Okay, but Sorokin, I trust Sorokin having the shutouts more than I do Kemper. The Islanders, yes, they're not the best team. We'll see if they stay in the playoff race or if they kind of fall out of it. But Sorokin is always a solid guy to have. Jacob, who's your last guy to go in a little bit of depth here for the listeners?
I'm going to do one more homer pick and talk about the best saber that is currently on the team. We're going to go to Tage Thompson. The guy is just an absolute unit. It's the best way to describe him. He's not huge on hitting, but he takes a million one shots. He's at 258 shots already. He's got 42 goals, 45 assists. He's a plus 7. He eats up every bit of ice time. He has penalty kill time, so he's the chance to score shorthanded. He eats up the majority of power play time, and he has a lot of power play points. And I mean a lot of power play points. He's got 18 power play goals already this year. So if you're in a league that values power plays above anything else, he's the kind of guy that's really going to skyrocket your offense, because he has that cannon of a shot and he has the ability to score from anywhere on the ice. So Tage Thompson, remember the name, because if you haven't been paying attention, you're going to, because last year he had a breakout season and then he's breaking out again this year. I'm terrified to know what he's going to do next year, because he's becoming a menace to society.
Absolute menace to society. Absolutely. Some other players that you should consider picking up. I'm just going to do a quick rapid fire here. Jacob Trouba, always good for peripherals, hits shots and blocks. He's always been fantastic. You know, Dougie Hamilton, he's got more points than Yossi this year. He's got more points than Makar this year. He's shooting almost 3.5 shots a game. He's almost getting a hit per game. Fantastic production there. Makar himself, 61 points, 16 goals, almost 3 shots a game, over a hit per game. He's in that same tier for me as Hamilton and Yossi. And another goaltender you should think of picking up, Philip Gustafson. He's got great rate stats. He's been in just over 30 games this year. With Marc-Andre Fleury's struggles, he's definitely a guy I would consider picking up. And he definitely fits into, you know, the next coming weeks topics of rebuilding and retooling teams. Another deep cut that I would recommend, Boone Jenner. He's been great. The points maybe not up to the same tier as some of these other guys we've been talking about, you know, only 40 points, but 23 of those points are goals. You love to have that, you know, averaging almost 3.5 shots per game, averaging almost 2 hits per game. And he also blocks at least once per game. So that's great coverage there. He's basically the top line center in Columbus until they potentially get Bedard or Fantilli. So he's a guy you definitely want. Jacob, you got some rapid fire guys for us.
You touched on a good portion of my list. So I'm going to leave it off with my last big player, which would be Quinn Hughes. I mentioned him earlier, but Quinn Hughes at the end of the day is just a pure offensive defenseman. He's not physical, but he throws up shots. He always is getting assists. Almost every single game he plays in, he's got at least one assist. So point production is one of the best things you get out of him. Grab him if you can, because he's just such a quietly good offensive player. Grab him.
100%. And I would be remiss if I didn't at least bring up Connor McDavid once in this podcast. If you can get Connor McDavid, or if you have Connor McDavid, you're probably
winning your league.
Laughing. You are probably winning your league. I know the guy in my league who has Connor. He's sitting first, or he might be second. I can't totally remember. But the guy who's also in second has Draisaitl and Meyer. So McDavid has been just insane this year. And the very scary thing is, I don't think he's in his prime yet. 70 games, 58 goals, 76 assists for 134 points. And if you want to know just how insane his year is, he has 61 power play points. That is better
than most people's regular production.
And it's more than a lot of players' regular production. Okay, 61 points. I think that's the same amount. I think Yossi, he has the same amount of power play points as Cale Makar has points, and more points than Roman Yossi. So that just hopefully puts things into a bit of perspective. He's probably going to finish super close to 2 points per game by the end of the season. And he's also just shooting a lot. And he hits over 4 shots a game, over a hit per game. McDavid is just a cheat code. If you have him, thank the hockey gods.
He has 20 games this year where he has 3 points. 20 times so far, he has 3 points. It's insane what he does. And it's not even fair if you were the player that got him 4 or 5 years ago in a dynasty draft. You're probably laughing your way all the way to a championship at this point.
Absolutely. And we're going to laugh our way on out of here today. That's all the time that we have. Next week, we're going to talk about players to acquire if you are a retooling team. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at THW Fantasy. I'm on Twitter at Caleb Scouting.
And I'm also on Twitter at Stro67.
If you are watching on YouTube, be sure to like this video and subscribe to the Hockey Writers YouTube channel. If you're listening in podcast format, subscribe to the podcast and please leave us a review on whatever platform you listen to. You've been listening to the Hockey Writers Fantasy Forecheck. Keep your stick on the ice, get pucks in deep, and give it 110%, eh? I'll see you next week.